Hi there, welcome to this week's episode of the podcast with me, Russell Davis. This fertility journey can put a strain on the best of relationships. And one thing I find in my own relationship was I was scared of arguing, scared of conflict, and no one taught us how to argue constructively, because arguing can be a constructive form of communication. Arguing can be a sign of passion in the relationship. Arguing is not a bad thing. I've thought it's a bad thing, a destructive thing. In this episode of podcast, I want to help you learn how to argue constructively, learn how to know it's okay to argue, and it can be actually a good thing, and help you get back into unity and create an even stronger bond with each other. So let's dive in and find out how you can learn to argue in a way that's constructive. Loving you. To argue and make it constructive and not destructive. As you know, this fertility journey can put a strain on the best of relationships. And sometimes I think we're not taught how to argue constructively. Well, definitely I was, and we weren't in my relationship. And for many years, I avoid arguing. For many years, I thought conflict was destructive. And I guess growing up, I saw the negative side of conflict. There was a lot of conflict in the house, and I never saw the resolution. And perhaps there wasn't one. I expect there wasn't. I expect my parents just stewed and didn't really talk things through and have that depth of relationship. But arguing can be a valid form of communication. I want to share some ideas and some tips and some principles that may help you when things get difficult, when you just want to throttle your partner, and it's okay to have those thoughts, have those feelings. It's called being human. And I think in any day-to-day relationship, it's completely natural. And I think particularly on this fertility journey, which does put a strain on the best of relationships. And I think there's something about the masculine-feminine polarity that is very attractive. That's what sexual attraction is, the polarity between the masculine and the feminine. But also that dichotomy of masculine and feminine can create conflict, can create tension, because we just often, they see the world differently. I'm not talking about man and woman, so masculine and feminine. We all have both within us. Yeah, men tend to have more masculine, women tend to have more feminine, but it's not always that case. So I think, you know, something about arguing, I remember our first argument. It was about sandwiches. And of course, it really wasn't about sandwiches. There's something deeper going on. And we've worked with a coach, and she helped us see that actually where there's arguing, there's often passion. And when a couple doesn't argue, often they get on like best of friends, but sometimes there's the passion missing from the relationship. So I think if you want a passionate relationship, sometimes there can be sparks. And the more we learn how to navigate that and find a constructive way through the conflict, that can only be a good thing. So for many years, I did avoid arguing, and my wife felt quite lonely in our relationship because she wanted to express herself. She found it difficult to. Any difficult conversation, I said, let's talk about it later, and we never did. And particularly on our fertility journey, my wife felt like a burden. She is the one who had the emotional experience, and I just was in my head. And she felt she was a burden if she expressed that, which obviously is not what I wanted, for I didn't want her to feel like a burden. But no one taught me how to hold space for that emotion. And it's okay to say to have an argument. So I want to share, these tips and tools to help you make arguments constructive, because the thing is, arguing can be a valid form of communication if we remember the purpose of the argument. The purpose of the argument is to fight for clarification, to fight to get back into unity. But the problem is, when the emotions are flying, or emotions are high, it the focus can often tend to protect our position to win the argument rather than to fight for clarification and get back into unity. So here's some thoughts that may help you do exactly that. Keep it clean and keep it focusing on fighting for clarification and unity. And the first thing is to own your feelings. Often in arguments, we say, you made me feel, or you did this and it made me feel. It's recognizing that nothing makes you feel anything, not even when someone's being unkind to you. It's your thinking about that behavior. It's your thinking about that experience, the meaning you take from it, that creates your feelings, that creates your emotion, that creates your experience. So it's about using words, I feel, not you make me feel. You own the feeling. So it's not even when you do X, it makes me feel. That's not owning the feeling. You start with an observation rather than a judgment. When I see this, or when I see we're not talking about our situation, I feel scared. When I see you drinking, I feel. It's just an observation. Is no, and you're owning the feeling. That moves on to the second point. Yeah, keep judgment out of it. So when I see you drinking, it's just an observation. When I see you drinking too much, that's a judgment. You're judging the other person drinks too much. So trying to keep judgment out of it. And this is going to be the hardest kind of principle or rule when it comes to arguing. Because we're just lazy in our language. We use judgments far more than we think. Because we live in our model of the world. Our model of the world makes sense to us. It's logical to us. It just makes complete sense. But it may not be the same as someone else's model of the world. It won't be exactly the same to anyone else's model of the world. We will have different models of the world. There may be some similarities. And when a lot of people think the same, we think that's truth. No, it just means a lot of people think the same. So the key thing is to keep judgment out of it. We both will all have different recollection and understanding of situations. So you said this, no, you said this, no, you said this. It really doesn't help anything. It's a judgment rather than, as far as I remember, what I heard was, I heard you, what I heard was this. When, so you're owning it. Again, you're owning your experience and keeping judgment out of it. So it's not about having the facts. Actually, facts are not really relevant to the argument because you're not trying to win. It's not about saying you're right and they're wrong. It's about fighting for clarification of each other's understanding of what's going on. It's about understanding their experience, getting into connection and to understanding. Getting into connection, understanding, unity doesn't mean you agree on everything. It means you understand each other's position. You feel connected, understand each other. You have to agree with their model of the world, their thinking behind it. So it's reminding ourselves that we're fighting for understanding and not being right. Another kind of rule or principle is no name calling. This doesn't really help anything when it comes to fighting for clarification and fighting to get into unity. And it's just full of judgments and criticism, and it just doesn't help anything. So as tempting it can be, just keep the name calling out of it. So we've got own your feelings. We've got keep judgment out of it. We've got no name calling. Another one is no third party. You're fighting to understand each other. You're fighting to get back into unity of each other. It's not about what anyone else thinks. It's not about other people's thoughts or judgments or opinions. So just keeping other people's opinion out of it and just fighting to understand each other. So don't bring a third party into it. And no past history. Now, the past is in the past. More than that, the past doesn't exist. What I mean by that is the only moment that is truly real is this present moment. The only moment that exists in space and time is this present moment. Almost you couldn't prove the past existed to, say, a friendly alien came into your world. How do you prove to them the past existed? You can't really. So let go of the past. They're not helpful. Be alive to what is in the moment. Now maybe someone may be feeling angry about something that happened in the past. Their feeling, their emotion is in this moment. So your job is to understand and connect to that feeling in the moment and not go over past history. And even though it's caused by past thinking, just Just be present to what the emotion is in this moment and try and keep the past out of it. It's just not going to help. Stick to the subject. You know, I am a master at when I think I'm losing an argument to steer the subject onto more solid ground. What I think is more solid ground, where I think I'm more likely to win. So again, fight for clarification on the subject, not moving to a subject you're more likely to win. So stick to the subject. Try and maintain a sense of humour. I think my wife is much, much better at this than me, but it's so, so powerful. When we get caught into our emotions, we lose perspective. And we get caught into a trance. We get caught into our emotions, our thoughts. We're living in the experience of our thinking, our emotions, in our model of the world. It's like we're emotionally hijacked. It's like being in a trance. And the thing when it comes to trance and hypnosis is a thing called a pattern interrupt. And it just breaks the trance. It's like if someone, maybe someone's a smoker, and typically a smoker, their first cigarette, they have this kind of routine they go through every day, or they have their first cigarette, maybe it's on the way to work in the car, or maybe they come down to make a cup of tea, they flick the kettle on, grab their cigarettes, go and have a cigarette while the kettle's boiling. There tends to be kind of this kind of routine, almost unconscious pattern to it. And if you tell them to put their cigarettes somewhere different, the next morning they come down to flick the kettle on, they go to grab their cigarettes, they're not there. And it's a pattern interrupt. It kind of wakes them up from the unconscious process, and they can make a more conscious decision whether they want a cigarette or not. And laughter and humour can be a pattern interrupt in an argument. It can really break the trance and bring us back to this present moment, bring us back to our full resourcefulness of understanding and compassion and patience, and see things with greater perspective. So if someone can inject some humour in the middle of an argument, it can really, really be a powerful way of diffusing the argument. And the last one I'll leave you with is holding hands. And this can be the hardest thing, but can be the most powerful. And it's not just to stop them throwing things at you. If you can hold hands, it reminds each of you what you're doing. You're fighting to get back into connection, to unity, and not fighting to win. It's a physical signal of what you're actually trying to do, what's actually going on. So that's the last one I'd leave you with, is holding hands. So there's a few kind of, I guess, rules of arguing. So own your feelings. Keep judgment out of it. No name calling. No third party. No past history. Stick to the subject. Maintain a sense of humour. And hold hands. And it'd be surprising when one of those may come to mind in an argument that can really help turn a corner, make it more constructive rather than destructive. And just to know that it's okay to have emotions. It's okay to express emotions. It's okay to get angry. It's okay to hate your partner at times. You're not bad or wrong for having these feelings. But I think unfortunately often in our society, we're not taught how to hold space for those feelings and argue in a constructive way, or even just hold space and listen to those feelings. So I guess the biggest thing I want to take from this is that you're not bad or wrong for having any kind of emotion. You don't choose your emotion, they happen, they're spontaneous. They're not you, they're not the real you, they're not your soul. So I want you to know that you're not bad or wrong for having any emotion. And my wish is that you have a space where it is held more lovingly and more compassionately, with more compassion. So I just want to leave that with you, that you're not bad or wrong to have any emotion. It's okay to express that emotion. And if it's not being held with love and compassion, anyway, it's not your fault either. And I just wish we can help couples, hold space for each other and argue in a more constructive way and find that they can get back into connection so much more easier than we think. And we don't want arguments dragging on for days and resentment building up. It's better to have a blowout, to really let it out, to let off steam, to express it. And knowing it's not personal, knowing it just needs to be let out, and holding a space for that, not taking things personally, fighting for clarification and unity.